In 1985 in Ireland, it was illegal to buy condoms over the counter. If you wanted them, you had to go to your doctor and get a prescription. At a time when this form of protection wasn't readily available, 106 Irish haemophiliacs were infected with HIV through contaminated blood products. 70% of them died. One man at the time took it upon himself to give out condoms.
It had been made eminently clear to us that the hospitals could not provide condoms and would not provide condoms. They didn't have a budget for this and they just couldn't do it. They weren't allowed to do it. So if they were to be provided, we would have to do it. I was really angry that this had happened to our community. I felt they were being ignored. It was as clear as day to me that we had to do whatever we could. It seems incongruous now, but it was quite a radical proposal for a charity to be providing condoms, which was actually an illegal thing to do. So first of all, I had to research where, you know, I had no idea where to buy condoms. I found out that there was one illegally operating clinic in Carl Brew Street. I think it was the Well Woman Centre. So I went with the money in my pocket from the funds provided by the society. I went into this clinic. I was nervous and I was embarrassed. There was a queue of five or six, all women, in the clinic. When I made my way up to the counter, I asked the lady behind the counter, they had condoms on display, and I said, which of these are the strongest? Because you also want, you know, strong condoms. And she pointed out one brand. And I said, do they have non-Oxyl-9 lubricant? And she said, they do. And I said, right, I'll take 100 dozen, please. And I said it in as low a voice as I could. And she said, 100 dozen? And behind me I heard, Jesus, it's Superman.
Now that's a clip from the short film, The Condom Man, by Nora Windeck, producer and writer. Nora joins me now in studio. You're very welcome to Global Village.
Thanks for having me.
That's a fantastic clip because I can I feel like it was so beautifully narrated by the gentleman that I felt I was actually there and I could feel the embarrassment that he must have felt when behind him said, Jesus, you're Superman. So where did the idea come from?
The idea started at a film screening, actually. A friend of mine organised, he runs the film club with the Q. And it was a film about a group of men in the 80s who were all one way or another affected by HIV/AIDS. And there was a bit of a discussion after the film. And people started talking about their own experiences that they had with HIV, the first time they heard of it, the first time they met someone with HIV. And there was a woman there, Breda, who we interviewed in the film as well, Breda Gahan.
Oh, a great friend of the show. who she works in Worldwide Concern. Who was like the go-to person when it comes to HIV.
Yes, exactly. So she was telling us how she was a nurse in the early mid-80s, in St. James's Hospital, in the blood ward. And she told us about cases of HIV patients coming in and that the hospital could do very, very little other than do the tests. And that was basically it because there was no treatment at the time, nothing. And they couldn't provide condoms or anything like that. They couldn't even give advice on where to get them or how to use them or anything like that. But she said that there was what she called the mystery man or the condom man, that there was a young man who once a week came to the back of St. James's Hospital in the middle of the night and handed out condoms to HIV patients. And to me as a filmmaker, that was just, it was a very strong image. It was a very noir thriller, almost like a mafia scene, you know.
Because what would have happened to him if he got caught in that year? Would he have been arrested, though?
I'm not sure whether he really would have been arrested, but certainly the condoms would have been taken from him and he would not have been able to continue in any way. So
still scary stuff.
Yes, absolutely scary stuff, yes.
And absolutely. How did you track the man down?
Well, first of all, I approached Cara Holmes, who's a friend of mine and a brilliant director. I very much admire her work and asked her whether she wanted to work on this with me because I needed a director, obviously, because I'm just a producer-writer.
What do you mean just a producer-writer? That's pretty amazing.
Well, no, I know, but yeah. I needed somebody to do this with me. So
I said next project you may as well direct it as well.
Hopefully, yeah. And Cara just immediately loved the story. She said, this is something that we have to do. And we applied for funding and we got into the final stages of funding and then we didn't get it. But we very quickly decided we want to do this anyway. So we just got some friends together and said, you know, who can help us? This is all, nobody gets paid. We have no money. And everybody was super enthusiastic. Everybody, whoever we told the story said, this is amazing. This is a story that has to be told. So we contacted Brida and she agreed to be interviewed. And we had a bit of a chat with her. And she said, I found him. I found the condom man. I know who he is. And of course, we were super excited. And she said, his name is Brian O'Mahony. And he's now the chief executive of the Haemophiliac Society Ireland.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. So he was very young at the time. He was only 24. And
what a brave young man.
Yes, very much so. The society was very small at the time and it was a very difficult time for haemophiliacs because this new blood product had come in, which allowed it had something to do with the clotting factors. It's quite complicated.
It's very technical, it's not really, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But this medication was made out of vast pools of blood plasma. So you were potentially exposed to about 30,000 donors if you took this medication. So, of course, there was the immediate threat of being infected with the HIV virus, which at the time wasn't really that well known yet. AIDS was the gay disease from San Francisco. It wasn't really that known yet.
No one in Catholic Ireland would ever get AIDS or HIV.
Exactly. So, of course, it was a huge threat to the haemophiliac community in Ireland. So this is why he just took it upon himself with the help of the society to just very quickly do something because he knew, they knew that lives were in danger.
So. It's really shocking that, you know, in my introduction, I said 106 Irish haemophiliacs that were infected with HIV during the time and 70% of them died. And that is just, it's tragic that actually happened. And is there, like, is this the film? This film obviously has recognized the story. And I think it's really important for people to hear more about it because, you know, again, it was something that they didn't, they didn't do anything to get HIV. You know, they went into a hospital and they thought they were in the care of the Irish medical system, and then they came away with a horrible and at that time life threatening disease.
Well, fatal, really, at that time, definitely. Well, there was. I think it must have been very, very difficult for the healthcare providers as well, for the doctors, for the nurses. And this is something that Brida talks about as well in our documentary, the helplessness. They couldn't do anything because there was nothing they could do. They just saw people coming in and they died. And that was basically it. And so it was an incredibly tragic time.
And obviously, they also had to deal with the stigma around HIV and AIDS.
Of course. Brida recalls meeting friends in the pub and telling them where she worked and they would literally take a step back and didn't want to talk to her anymore. Friends, family, you couldn't talk about being HIV positive in any way. It was a huge stigma.
And sadly, in 2017, you know, wish you could say that we and Brida would be able to attest to this, that we are nowhere near to zero infections.
No, on the contrary.
Yeah.
On the contrary, actually. It's since the early 80s, in Ireland alone, 7,838 people have died of AIDS. And today, well, I have the statistics from last year, in 2016, there was a person diagnosed with HIV in Ireland every day. Every day. So it's
on the rise. I think
this
year they think they're going to hit 500.
Yes. Yeah. It is on the rise because it seems manageable for a lot of people. It doesn't see, we don't see the emaciated faces. We don't see the Kaposi sarcoma in the face. Like, we don't see these things anymore. So to a lot of people, it seems as if it's gone away. And people think, oh, they, you know, it's treatable now. There's this PrEP drug you can take. You know, it's somehow, people just don't see it as the threat anymore that we grew up with. You know, I grew up early, late.
I still remember that ad, that horrible ad about the gravestone.
Exactly, exactly. And I mean, that was something that Cara and I talked about as well, which I thought was very interesting because I grew up in Germany in the 80s, 90s. And there was a very quick response from the media and everywhere. It was talked about in school. It was talked about in the media, advertising, everything. Whereas Cara, who grew up in Ireland at the same time, said there was nothing, absolutely nothing. It wasn't talked about at all.
It's really incredible how, you know, just the topic of you know, HIV and AIDS, it's just how it's evolving and how perceptions of it is evolving, even though the stigma is still very much there and people are still not getting tested,
which is
the one thing that we should all do. But what do you hope, because the film was shown at GAYS, which is the International Lesbian Gay Film Festival. Well, what do you hope to, I suppose, for people to who see the film, to get out of it?
I think it's very important to see where all of this came from and how things were different, how people had to live with the stigma. And I just think it's very interesting. I know that sounds slightly banal, but I think we need to know how things started and where they came from and how they were treated. Not just, I don't mean treated medically, but treated in society and who the people were who actually did something, who risked a lot to fight and to save people.
And they were not necessarily representatives of the government.
They're not at all. On the contrary. And it is, you know, Brian told us his actions did save lives. I mean, they did a study of the partners of HIV-infected hemophiliacs. And 6 years after the provision of condoms of what he did, no spouse or partner had been infected. So it's really...
They should build a statue.
I know.
For this man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So just talking about from a, because you're a filmmaker, you're a producer and a writer. Is this the kind of topic that you're interested in? Like, because there is a social justice element to it. And is this the kind of story that you're normally attracted to telling?
To be totally honest, this is my first documentary. I've done music videos, short films, non-narrative art installations.
It's a pretty meaty first documentary. You know, you could have gone for something a little bit, you know, middle of the road, but here's like real hard-hitting stuff.
It just seemed to me a really important story to tell. And I found the right people to tell them with, you know. And of course, it's hard when you tackle a subject like this to minimize it, to one person or two people who did something very specific at a very specific time. You know, we talked to other people during the research. We talked to James O'Connor, who...
Great guy. We had him on the show here. Great
amazing.
Guy.
Who used to be the development manager of the Open Heart House,
yes.
Which, due to lack of funding, had to close in 2012. And he's now an advocate and an educator on HIV and AIDS issues, as you know. And it's such a huge topic that it was quite heartbreaking for us, actually, to say, no, we can't talk about this. We can't talk about that. We have to focus on this very, very small slice of life. And the more we got into it, the more we said, we'd love to make a feature film about this, you know, a feature documentary. This is really something that should be told.
So that's the next step now, Nora.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, he is hoping because, like, the film is just a fantastic way of, it's a fantastic vehicle to get a story like that. You know, normally people might switch off, because it's always a social justice issue. It's someone on a soapbox where you're really talking to individuals on the front line who just saw it like it is, and it has great power of you know, breaking down stigma, creating awareness, and even at the very least, it's honoring the people who died. You know, the 70% of the 106 Irish haemophiliacs who were infected with HIV who are no longer with us because of the fact that they couldn't get something as simple as a condom, which now costs, I don't know how many, I don't know. I can't remember the last
time
I bought a condom.
Yeah. They're expensive. They're still, in Ireland, condoms are still classified as luxury items. So you pay a luxury tax.
There's like tampons and sanitary. I know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. No, because I have to say, and I keep saying this, you know, the heterosexual community needs to take a page out of the book of how the LGBT community, I suppose, tackle this issue, because you get free condoms in bars. Yeah. You know, you're standing there having a drink and then somebody will just come, here. Yeah. You might need it later. And there you go. You got your condoms for the night. This is what they should be giving out at pubs across the country.
Yeah. I know Panty does it.
So let's get this into a place like Copperface Jack's and you know, wherever else, like, you
absolutely.
Know, because God knows that's a lot of crisis pregnancies happening right now as
absolutely.
We speak. So where can people find out more? Because as I said, this was shown in the Gaze Film Festival, but it's doing the festival round now. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it'll be shown in the Cork Festival.
Yeah, we submitted it to the Cork Film Festival, so we're still waiting to hear back. That's in November. We submitted it to other festivals, so obviously we'd like as many people as possible to see it. On the other hand, festivals only show it if it's not been shown on the internet. So far, it's unfortunately not completely public yet, but we'll keep you updated.
Brilliant. And when you let us know, we will let our listeners know. So Nora Windeck, producer and writer of The Condom Man, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.